Hello.
Okay, it is one. You have to bear with me a minute because I wrote notes. First, I'd like to start out with a scripture. It's Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life. When he raised Christ from the dead, it's only by God's grace that you have been saved. And I was thinking and really thinking about the phrase, but God. That phrase, but God, appears 43 times in the Bible. And when Joe told me we were going to talk about the goodness of God, I knew that I needed to share. Okay, and I have this necklace that my sister-in-law had given me. It's right here. And the words say, but God. The more I thought about it, and the more it takes me to think about, but God, where would we be? Where would we be? Where would I be today if someone, if somewhere doing what God, yeah. See, now I'm reading and I'm messing up, okay? Where would I be without God? Would I be out in the world? Would I be doing something he didn't want me to do? Lost and on my way to hell. But God, so rich in mercy, loved and saved me.
Yes.
My father died when I was in my 20s. And he was an alcoholic. And out of my life for a period of time. But God brought him back into my life to live with me and to see his grandchildren before he died. I didn't have the best home life growing up and was unsure about my future, but God brought me to love to my first, brought me the love of my life. When I had a lot of gynecological issues and was told that I would have difficulty bearing children. But God blessed me with three wonderful children and four grandchildren and one more due any moment. And when those children had various problems and strayed far from the family and even the Lord, but God worked in this situation. But God seemed impossible. It seemed impossible to heal, but God, to deliver, but God, and to save and bring back the prodigal. The work still isn't finished, but God, Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. I can go on, and I'm sure that all here today can relate and share our stories, but I stop now. So as we come to a close and reflect on another year, and as we look forward to the year ahead and whatever comes our way, I just want you to remember, but God.
Amen.
That was so good, Meg, and powerful. I have a scripture too. Luke 7:39. When the Pharisee who invited him in saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You've judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, Your sins are forgiven. Amen. And I was praying, and when Mark had told me, Pastor asked for me to share, and then when Pastor said the goodness of God, like, it's just so easy for me because I've been forgiven much, much, much. I am that woman. My sins were many. And when I just think about the place that he's brought me from, just total darkness and evil and dysfunction, I come from a family of crazy, crazy dysfunction from the very beginning of my life. I was in a marriage that was abusive and drugs and just alcohol and all the things that you can imagine, witchcraft and abuse and just anything you could imagine, I was involved in it. There wasn't a thing. I was that sinner. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit gave me a word this morning, sound mind. That's probably the greatest thing he's delivered me from. He's restored my sanity. He's given me a sound mind. The drugs, the abuse, the situations, the life, all the things, they're outward. It's an easy fix. The world has the answer to them things, the rooms and the programs and the this and that. So I could fix myself for a short period of time in the world, but the world could not transform and restore my mind. And that's where I would always hit my head. I would try all the things that the world said to try, the therapy, the rehab, the doctors, the medications, the psych wards. I've been in many psych wards, have many mental breakdowns, and I could not get it. I just couldn't. And when the Lord came in and transformed my life, that was it. Like, I mean, if you would, only people that know me from then truly understand. Anthony knew me then, Lisa knew me somewhat, some here knew me then. And if you look at me now, you know I'm just not the same person. There's no evidence of who I was, and only Jesus could do that. He takes a life and he transforms you from the inside out. And I'm so grateful, like the goodness of God. Who am I? I'm no one. I had no desire to want to know God, to want to serve God. I was okay in my sin. I didn't care. Who am I? That's what I think about all the time. You know, when I am tempted to be, you know, ungrateful and you know, whatever, I think like, Lord, who am I? You've restored me from so much. You've blessed me with so much. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. There's nothing I could ever do to make me worthy. I mean, it's just amazing to me. And he blessed me. Like, I have six beautiful kids. I'm a mother. I'm a wife. Like, these are all things that I could have never, ever imagined in my own strength. And when I tell you standing up here today, there's not one bit of me that does any of it. Not one bit. It's all him. I had no desire for any of it, let alone the ability. So it's all him, and I'm so grateful that he's restored my mind and my sanity and my relationships and my family and a church that I love and my church family. Like, it's all him. I could never, ever have any reason to be ungrateful because he's done so much for me and his goodness, and his mercy and his grace, and I just love him. And for anyone, you know, here today that, like, thinks, like, you know, that can't be me. Like, who am I? Who am I? I was that person that tried everything the world had to offer, so he absolutely can change and transform your life, and he wants to, and he loves you, and his mercy endures forever, and I just want to give him glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name.
We need to hear more of those things. Yeah. Amen? What God is doing in our lives. He does marvelous things. You might not always understand it at the time you're going through it, but our God does marvelous things. Let's worship a little bit more, then I'll come back up in a little bit. Let's give God the glory. Let's stand and praise him.
Clothed in majesty. see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see
time. If you joined us a little late, You can see we have a theme running, the goodness of God. You've already heard three wonderful, amazing expressions of God's goodness. Amen. We're going to hear just a little bit more. I have a couple things to share just for a few moments. I want to leave plenty of time for us to worship and to sit at the Lord's table. He is good all the time. But you know something? The way we perceive it, though, isn't always right. In other words, we don't always perceive God's goodness in the way that we should. We sometimes have a skewed idea of what God's goodness even looks like, you know? And that causes us sometimes to break ranks with God. Do you ever do that? You kind of think, well, God's not being good to me as I think he should be good to me, so I'm going to go find goodness somewhere else. And you don't find goodness there at all. You might find temporary this and that, but you don't find goodness there. And it's so important for us to understand the goodness of God. It's so important to us to understand that when the Bible says that we should give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy is everlasting. That's Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy is everlasting. It doesn't change. He's infinite. Goodness is part of his character. It's part of his attributes. He's always good, and everything he does is for good. We don't always see it that way, though. So God's goodness is constant. James says every good thing comes from God above. Every good gift, right? Every good gift comes from God. There's no change in him, no variation of change in God. He doesn't change, you know? He's not good sometimes, and then sometimes he kind of like wants to play tricks on you and kind of like wants to be a little. No, he's good all the time. Period. End of discussion. He's good. Jesus said when he was on the earth that God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So sometimes that's where we get confused. Wait a minute. How come sometimes it seems to be good things happening to these really bad, crappy people, and other times I'm trying to be so good to God and he looks like he's raining on my parade? What's going on here, God? It's hard for us to understand sometimes. We don't recognize that God is not only the source of goodness, but God also knows how to display goodness in the proper way. And it's different than what we think it should be. See, God's expression of goodness does vary. I will tell you that. It does vary. See, Psalm 34 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him, there is no lack of anything." Sometimes we wonder, wait, I'm having lack in my life. Well, that doesn't mean God has forgotten you, but it may be that he's trying to get your attention about something. He's trying to change it up on you because you get so into your own way of doing things that you're forgetting God. You're not fearing God the way you should. You're not trusting him the way you should. Because we know that in the things that God does in our life or allows in our life that are sometimes from a point of view that we have bad things, because bad stuff does happen. No bad stuff ever happened to you guys? Come on. Bad stuff does happen. You say, no, you can't say bad. It's the goodness of God. No, in this world, bad stuff happens. And God even allows that bad stuff from time to time. But always with a good purpose. Brain doesn't function all the time. Our brain. But God's ways are far above our ways. And we have to understand what Paul understood or began to understand. He didn't always get it right, but he's understood it enough to realize that when he was going through the ups and the downs and the turmoils and all the trials he went through, he was able to say that we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28, right? Good things don't always happen, but God causes all things for the good. For those that he loves, for those that he has called for his purpose. So you could walk with him or walk away from him. You could obey him or disobey him. You could love him or decide, no, I'm not going to love him. But I'm going to tell you something. When you follow God, his plan works together for your life. and ultimately will work good out for you and for those around you. Because many times you go through things that are not so good because he's working something in you for somebody else. It's amazing. That's why his ways are so far above our ways. That's why you could be doing everything you think, oh, I'm doing everything right, God, and then all of a sudden stuff happens in your life and you realize, why, God, I'm doing everything good. No, I'm doing this in you. I'm perfecting something in you to trust me, but I'm also working it out for somebody else. See, we think sometimes, you know, God's depriving us or God's doing this to us, you know. And then we try to make our own way and we miss out on that blessing that he has in store. We short circuit what God's plan is. Every one of us here, I guarantee you, is guilty in some area of their life of short-circuiting what God's plan is for you in different areas of times. Thank God for his mercy and faithfulness that he comes back around when he doesn't just leave us there. But how many times have we short-circuited God's plan? See, goodness is what God, though, now says it is. You may not think it's good, but it's good. God is in charge. Listen. We don't see his goodness because we compare ourselves with others. Or we compare what we think judges goodness, our own basement of what we think, or our own base level of what we think goodness is. But God has greater wisdom and knowledge and understanding than us. And he doesn't want us to rely on our own understanding. That's why you and I, when it deals with God in general, but especially when we talk about the goodness of God, we can't lean on our own understanding. We have to trust him with all of our heart. Because as the proverb says, if you trust him with all of your heart and you don't lean on your own understanding, but you acknowledge him in everything, he will direct your path. He has wisdom that we'll never have, but he'll give you wisdom if you ask him for it. Glad I don't understand. Let him give you wisdom. He uses hardships and suffering to teach us to trust him more, to rely on him more, to learn how to surrender to him more. He has a plan that is so good for every one of us, and he wants us to follow that path and that plan for our life. And, you know, we kind of like want to go here and go there and take detours, and God's like, no, sometimes I got to bring that stuff into your life because I need you to come back on the plan. You say, well, God, if the plan has pain at that moment, yeah, because that pain is going to drive you back to him. Or through that pain, you'll touch others' lives to bring them to him. No two lives work the same. Gloria's life is different from Meg's life, was different from Joey's life, but yet all of them can see in their life the goodness of God. Amen? Different circumstances, but the goodness of God. I mean, I'm not preaching to them. This is more of an exhortation. I'm not going to be long. I'm getting ready to bring it all together in a few minutes here. But God has so many different expressions of his goodness. His mercy is goodness. His patience is goodness. His grace is goodness. His love is goodness. We are showered with God's goodness. We're the recipients of his endless mercy and grace and his unmatched love. And he showed us that love. That while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. So what do we do with all of this? All right, bear with me a couple minutes, because I want you to look. Put the slide back up, the theme slide. See that scripture up there, Psalm 31:19? That's kind of like the key verse here. Because I'm going to quickly, if you look at that psalm, we're not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to keep it short. But if you look at that psalm, David went through a lot of stuff. Did a lot of stuff. David sought the Lord with all his heart. Then David also turned away from the Lord and kind of went his own way. You know, David was a man set and he was anointed as the king, but then he was out there robbing people with his band of, wise guys. They were out there robbing people. You know what I mean? He was out there burning villages and stealing from people. So, I mean, David had an up and down. But he was a man after God's own heart from the standpoint of the fact that he was God's anointed. And then he had a love for God that was amazing. And God always was there for David. In this psalm, by the way, this psalm, kind of interesting psalm, one of the most quoted Psalms in all of the Bible. It's quoted like many different times in all the scriptures. You'll see some of these as you read it. But God is dealing with David in some area of his life, and David's crying out to God, I need your protection. I want to do what is right. I want you to do what is right. Excuse me, God. And in David's life, he's probably asking him to bless something that maybe God didn't want to bless, you know? God, I want you to do what is right. Well, okay, God, I don't know. He says, listen to me, God, he cries out. He says, God, you're my rock, my fortress, is in verse 3. You know, I'm trust you to lead me out, to pull me from the trap of my enemies, you know? I'm going to entrust my spirit into your hands. Rescue me, God. These are all the things he's saying in the psalm. I'm kind of just going through it. You know, he says, those people that trust in idols, you know, they trust in other things. He says, they don't have what I have. I trust in you, God. I trust in you. You know, I'm going to be glad in you, even in my troubles. You've seen my troubles. You know, and in spite of my troubles, I'm still here. You haven't deserted me. You haven't handed me over to my enemies. He says, but I'm in tears. See, you can love the Lord with all of your heart and be going through stuff right now that makes you just cry, makes you despair even of life, that you want to give up. You know, say, just what's it all worth it? He says, I'm dying from grief. He says, my years are shortened by sadness. Even after he acknowledges the goodness of God, right? Sin drained my strength. And you're going to find somewhere along your journey here that when there's things going in a way that God is allowing certain things into your life, you're going to find somewhere there's God trying to get your attention about something in your life that's not the way it should be. David began to see this. Sin drained my strength. I'm wasting from inside. Everybody, even my neighbors, my enemies, are all talking about me. My friends are afraid to come near me. He said, when they see me on the street, like, they all abandon me. My friends abandon me. I'm ignored. He says, like if I was a dead man. He said, I hear people talking about me. I'm surrounded by terror. You know, my enemies are plotting against me, plotting to take my life. But I'm trusting in you, God. First word, I'm trusting in you. I got nowhere else to go. And he acknowledges that some of it's his fault. He doesn't understand it, but he says, I trust you, God. You're my God. My future's in your hands, verse 15. Rescue me, you know. Let favor shine on your servant. Don't let me be disgraced, O Lord. I call out to you for help. He says, silence the lying lips, verse 18. But there's verse 19. I want you to listen to this verse very carefully, because this represents you and I. As a child of God, as one whom God loves more than you could ever imagine. He says, how great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. You get that? In the 23rd Psalm, you set up a table before me, right, in the presence of my enemy. Lord, you're blessing me, and the world's watching. Lord, the things I'm going through, the good and the bad, but in all of that, you're blessing me. And Lord, as I trust you, you're with me every step of the way. Lord, and the world is watching, and that's the key. You're going to hide me in the protection and the shadow of your wings. But at the same time, you're protecting me. People are watching what's going on in my life. They're watching how I respond, how I can worship you even in the pain, how I can praise you when all outward circumstances says I should curse you. How can I rejoice in sorrow? How I could be glad when I should be sad. Oh, the goodness of God. The goodness of God that you've stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it. I'm reading that verse from the New Living Translation. Lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. He says, finishes up that psalm, praise the Lord. For he's shown me wonders of his unfailing love. He kept me safe and my city was under attack. In panic, I cried out, I am cut off from the Lord, but you heard my cry for mercy and answered my call for help. When everything around you said, you're done, it's over, this is it, game's over, God rescues. God intervenes. God comes in. So love the Lord, all you godly ones, for the Lord protects those who are loyal to him, but harshly punishes the arrogant. So be strong. When we know the goodness of God, when we trust the goodness of God, he says, so be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. See, the response to the goodness of God is that we need to take him at his word and trust him, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it makes no sense at all. We need to repent of going it alone and going our own way in the times that we say, oh God, you're not being good to me, and the time we're whining, complaining, the time we try to find goodness in something else. We need to say, no, 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 Lord, I turn away from that. It says in Romans chapter 2, listen to this. Paul speaking to the church, or do you presume, and he's speaking to you and me, do you presume on the richness of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God, God's kindness, is meant to lead you to what? Repentance. His goodness should lead us to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry for going my way. I'm sorry for not trusting you. I'm sorry for wanting to give up. I'm sorry, God. Forgive me, and I'm not just sorry, Lord, I'm changing my mind. I'm going to trust you with all of my heart. Help me to trust you each and every day, even when I don't understand it. Help me to trust you, and help me to let others know, because we want to give him gratitude and thanks. And I'm going to tell you, you've heard me say this so many times, and I'm actually going to read it in a different translation, because when I repeat it, I think sometimes it falls on our ears as we hear it so many times. But you know what he says. It's not just with the words we want to give him thanks, but with our lives. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You heard Joey say it. Nothing could change her mind but Jesus. Nothing can bring her to a sound mind but Jesus. Nothing can bring her to that place of seeing and knowing that he had a perfect will and plan for her life but Jesus. Meg couldn't see it. Glory couldn't see it. But God who is rich in mercy, but God who loves us, does these things for us. And we, our response should be, Lord, thank you with my life. Thank you. Because you know what? That's what the watching world that David said is going to see. That change. How many of you can raise your hands if you want, but how many of you have heard me tell you through so many times when we've talked together privately about situations you're going through with somebody else and you're praying for them? I say, just let God work in your life and change you and let them see God in you. That's what they're watching. Oh, you go to church. Yeah, billions of people go to church. But how many are the children of the living God who have the hope of glory in them, who know the goodness of God as he has shown them that in the land of the living, and that they can see it in them and through them? So we want to trust him at his word, repent for going our own way. We want to give him thanks with all of our lives as living sacrifices. And finally, listen to what we have to do. The world is watching. So with our lives and then with our mouths, when the time is appropriate, tell others about his amazing goodness. See this goodness of God? The world's watching. Time for them to hear it and see it. You know, in the book of Acts, the early church, they finally realized Jesus is alive. Praise God. God is good. And guess what? They're in the room because he told them to go up in the room. And they're praising God in that room. And they're just waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit, right? And what happens when the Holy Spirit comes? They stayed in that room for 2,000 years or over. They're still down behind closed doors, right? No, they stayed in there until they dried up in dead bones, right? No, they went outside. They went outside from church service. They went into the world that we all live in. And you know what it says they did when they were speaking with those other tongues, verse Acts 2:11? He says, everybody heard them. They saw them, but they heard them. They thought they were drunk, but they said, no. They heard them declaring the wonderful works of God, the goodness of God, the marvelous things of God. You say, yeah, but that was then, 2,000 years ago. This is now. It's gotten a lot worse. Well, it really hasn't, but all right, I'll even give that to you. Well, guess what? I read the end of the book. Did you? It gets worse. It does. And you know what it says about the time of the people that are God's people that are living on the earth at the worst time in the earth's history, which is called the Great Tribulation? You know what it says? That they overcome, Acts 12:11, Satan, the Antichrist. They overcome him by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, sharing the goodness of God. In the midst of everything going to literal hell, they could declare the goodness of God. And they did it not caring about their own lives. They weren't ashamed. They declare it. Will we do the same in 2024? I hope so. I hope this day so far encouraged you. I hope it was a blessing. Worship team, you always said you were going to stay up. Get back up here. Come on. You should be up here already. Come on. We're going to get right back into some. We're going to get ready for the Lord's table. Because I want to celebrate even more the goodness of God. Do you? Yes. While Gloria does, and I heard Donna whisper yes. Do you want to celebrate the goodness of God? Yes. In about an hour, some people are going, yay, football! Like last night, I said, Dallas, you lost. And then they cheated. They cheated. But that's okay, Charlie. We're telling the goodness of God. He loves even Dallas Cowboy fans. He does. He loves them all. But we can celebrate our Lord and his goodness. Amen? Stand up. Come on. Get us up. Get up. The goodness of God. We got a song we're going to sing as we get ready for the Lord's Supper. When we have the Lord's Supper, we're going to, I'll give you the signal. We'll come out like we always do down the center, come down and serve. And when we're all, after we all serve, then we'll partake okay. together. But let's worship right now. Praise God. The goodness of God.
Lord, I need you.
Oh. That'll come later. God is good.
Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. Thank you.
Lord's tables for all those who are washed in his blood and born again. All of us who are children of God, that we can't sit at his table in our sin, we're dirty. But it's his righteousness that cleanses us. He washed their feet, at the time of the Last Supper, not because of their external dirtiness, but to let them know that in him they were cleansed. And if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus and born again, this is the time for us to sit at his table. There is a warning, though, don't come unworthily. Now, again, none of us are worthy, but what it means by that, don't come just as a routine. Don't come just thinking that you could flippantly sit at his table. Come because you know that you've been washed in his blood. If there's anything in your life and heart that you need to deal with right now, deal with it before you come and sit at the Lord's table, because you don't want to be guilty, it says, of the body and the blood of the Lord. So he says, examine himself. And then when we examine ourselves and we repent in those areas that we need to, it says then we can eat and drink of the Lord's cup, not bringing any damnation unto ourselves. So it's a time. It's a somber time, but it's also a glorious time. And it's a time to remember the goodness of God, that Jesus gave his life. His body was broken for our sin, and his blood was shed to wash that sin away. So as Bob and Dom are here, as best you can, kind of come towards the... we should go around the long way, come down the center of the aisle, then go right back around, make a nice little circle. So kind of walk, I know it's long for you guys to go, kind of go up and around and kind of circle around the end aisles and come down the center aisle and receive it, okay? You can start now, go ahead. Take the long way around. Let's go in that way, this way, go that way, and then come down the center aisle. It'll just be a little bit more orderly that way. Go back to your seats.
Lord, I need you. Oh.
For everybody, get back to their seats, and from the serve the worship team and anybody still in the back. His goodness was never more on display than when he came to this earth. And he came to us, as I said a little while ago, that while we were sinners, he came to die for our sin. Without the goodness of God, we are nothing. We are wiped out. But God, in his richness of his mercy, right, saved us from our sin. So we remember that. We remember that when we come and have communion together. Paul received it from the Lord, because he wasn't there that night, and we weren't there that night either, but he received from the Lord what took place that night, that the Lord Jesus, that same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And can you together with me give thanks like Jesus did? Jesus, Father, we thank you for all things. We thank you for your goodness, for your love, and for your grace. And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You know, during the Passover supper, they had several cups of wine that they raised during that meal. And this, I believe, probably was the third cup, if I'm not mistaken, the cup of redemption. And in that, he took that cup in the same manner when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We remember, Lord, your great sacrifice to tell others about you. Listen, did you have a good time in church today? Did you want to go home and continue to praise him? And you want to be ready to tell others about him? Maybe this year you didn't do a great deal of telling people about him. But going forward, let's let people see Christ alive in us. Let our lives be living sacrifices. Let us set apart him as Lord of our life. Sanctify him in our heart, so that when others will see that, they will come and ask us for the hope, that living hope that is within us, and we can tell them about Jesus. And you know what? Invite him to church. Invite him to Bible study. Invite him as we come. Invite him to come into your house just to share the word of God, right? But let's make this year an opportunity for us to glorify our Father in heaven. Amen? Now we got the goodness of God. Let's sing it and give him all the glory. Amen?